Please turn with me in your Bibles to John's Gospel, chapter 15. I'd like to continue the message that we began last week, Friends with God. Isn't it great to know that we can be God's friend, or are God's friend? John 15, beginning with verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Let's bow our hearts together and let's ask God's blessing on the sharing of his word. Father, once again, we just glorify your name and thank you so much for your grace and presence in our lives. We ask now, Lord Jesus, that your Holy Spirit would continue, Lord, to move in this service. We pray for your anointing, God, upon this speaker. God, we also pray for your anointing upon every hearer here. For we need to hear from you today in the holy name of Jesus. We lift up our children as well downstairs and pray your blessing upon their lives and upon the ministers there. We ask all these things this morning in your precious name. Amen. Amen. Well, last week we began the message by talking about our multidimensional relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And in discussing that, it was comforting to know, at least it's comforting for me to know, that even though we're soldiers of the cross, even though we're part of the body of Christ, even though we're citizens of his kingdom, we're servants to the Lord Jesus Christ, because of the great love of Jesus for you and me, his creation, we not only have that subservient relationship with Jesus, which we should because he is our high captain, he is our soon and coming king, but we can also have a familiar and intimate relationship, because it is the desire of God and the provision of God through Calvary that you and I can be friends with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the word friend in the Bible is the same as it is here today. Because what do you think of when you think of that word friend? You don't think of someone that you need to make an appointment to talk with. It's not someone that you have to work through a secretary to get to know. It's not someone that you just read about in a biography or see in a television documentary or hear about in the papers. It's someone that you can go to and talk with and share with at any time because they're your friend. And it's the same as far as the relationship of the Lord Jesus Christ with us. We began to look at this aspect of friendship with the Lord Jesus in looking at the dynamics of the relationship between two best friends in the Bible, David and Jonathan. And if I could think of one person who is truly a friend in the Bible outside of Christ, it would be Jonathan. And we talked about some of the aspects of his relationship with David, which help us understand our friendship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We saw in his friendship with David that true friends prefer others or prefer their friends over themselves. They put their friends' needs above their own needs. And we talked about that's exactly what Jesus Christ did for you and me. He gave up the glory and splendor of heaven. God the Father sent his Son to die on Calvary for us. He is truly our best friend. We saw also that true friends are protective of one another. How Jonathan protected David from his father. And how the Lord Jesus Christ protects us. Yes, we might go through trials and difficulties, but we'll never go through them alone. And our faith and our heart will always be intact. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ is always with us. Psalm 91 tells us he gives his angels charge concerning us. We're never alone. We're always under the protection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We saw that true friends are sacrificial. How Jonathan was willing to put his life on the line for his friend David, his own father, hurling a spear with the intent to kill Jonathan for the express purpose of sticking up for his friend David. And of course, that's what Jesus Christ did for us. And what we celebrated this morning, hanging on Calvary, giving his life because he is our best friend. And then we also saw how true friends display empathy. They feel each other's pain. And bless God, every tear, every struggle that you go through, not only do you not go through that struggle alone, but you go through that struggle with a Savior who sympathizes, who empathizes, who is moved with the same feelings that you're moved with, that understands and feels and experiences your pain. God is a God who empathizes because He is our friend. He cares about us as we should be towards one another. He is towards us, and He weeps when we weep, as well as rejoices when we rejoice. And we talked about those things last week. Let's continue. That's just one aspect, talking about the dimensions of our friendship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's look to the means. How can we become friends with God? And I think the best way to understand that is by looking at the man Abraham in the Bible. And in some ways, friendship with God is like friendship with another person. But in other ways, friendship with God is different. Now, how do you become friends with someone? Well, like we mentioned last week, how the old saying goes, you don't choose your family, but you do choose your friends. Very rarely, I've seen this in my daughter's life, but not too many others, do people become instant friends, although sometimes it happens. Usually you meet someone, and, you know, after talking with them a little bit, you find you might have some common interests, and so you say, well, let's go get coffee or let's do something. And then from there, you know, you find that there's more interest and your personalities are compatible. And so from that point, a relationship, a friendship begins to bond where it goes beyond the surface, talking about weather and sports and things of that nature to sharing different aspects of your lives. But in human friendship, it's a matter of choice. Two parties have to decide if they're going to be friends. And then it's something that develops, you know. You don't just meet someone and then immediately begin sharing every bit of your life and sharing the sorrows of your life. You wait until there's a strong relationship and a strong bond that's formed. But that's not the way it is with Jesus. And we see this as far as his relationship with Abraham, which was not only Abraham, a man serving God, but Abraham, a man being a friend of God. James chapter 2, verse 23 says, Scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was also called God's friend. I don't know about you, but I've always met people in different parts of my life whom I've truly admired. And one aspect of their life that I have admired is their relationship with God. They seem to walk closely with God and seem to have a close, intimate relationship with God. And it was something as far as the spiritual man within me that stirred up envy, a good envy, you know, wanting to have a closer and more personal relationship. But the mindset as far as human friendship is that type of relationship can only come through a lot of time and hard work. And I have to do a lot of things in order to become that good friend of God. You know, as I am now, I'm not really, God doesn't want to be a friend with me. He loves me and I'm his child and his servant, but maybe not his friend. I can't have that close, intimate, familiar relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's all wrong. In fact, that's thinking things about God the old way, which is a way of trying to earn our way into God's good graces. How many here have earned their way into God's good grace of salvation? You went out and you did something great, and because you did something great, God said, well, I forgive you of all your sins. and now you're a brand new creature in Jesus? No one. Because the Bible says that by the deeds of the law shall no man be justified. We received God's gift of salvation simply by His favor or His grace being bestowed upon our lives. And so it is with friendship. What made Abraham God's friend? Was it because he was a man of great sacrifice? Was it because he was a man who was willing to sacrifice his son? Was it because he was concerned about Lot? Because he was a great intercessor and all the wonderful things that we read about Abraham? No! He became a friend of God. He came into that familiar, personal relationship with God, the creator of the universe, when he believed that God was God and God was able to save him and God was the only means of his salvation and his redemption. Some of you might be here today and you might feel you're not worthy of being a friend of God because of what you do. And let me tell you, there's none of us who is perfect here. And yes, we are to strive to be more than who we are in Jesus and strive to greater levels of holiness and righteousness. You know, the pure in heart shall see God. But what we do cannot affect the heart of God towards us or our friendship with God. Because it's not a matter of works. It's a matter of faith. And the moment that you receive Jesus Christ into your life, and what I mean by that, the moment that you confess your sins before God and confess Him as your Savior, as not only the Son of God, but the ruler and master of your life, then not only do you become God's child and God's servant, but you also become God's friend and open to this wonderful relationship and the wonderful aspect of the relationship of friendship that God wants to have for your personal life in Jesus' name. It's not a matter of works. It's a matter of friendship. Now, to be a good friend, friends have to work on their relationship. Now, I'm not trying to undermine what I just said. But I don't know about you, but I want to have a strong friendship with Jesus where not only can He hear me clearly, but I can hear Him clearly. Now, to be a good friend, what must a friend do? He must be, well, the Bible says friendly, which is the obvious. But a good friend needs to work at it. They need to be there for that person. They need to be that ear when that person needs someone to unload on. They need to be those hands and feet when someone needs help with whatever they're going through in life. They need to be there to share not only the sorrows, but the joys. That's what friendship is all about. It's important that we develop our friendship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That it's always real to Him. He always is going to be our friend and will always have strong feelings towards us and want to have that familiar, intimate relationship with us. But the question is, if we're going to reap the benefits of that, whether or not you and I are going to develop our friendship with Him to be that good friend. And it's important that we do so, not only that we can experience more of God, and that God might be more real in our lives, not only as Savior, Master, King, but as a friend. But in friendship, there is wisdom. In fact, throughout the book of Proverbs, and what Proverbs is a book of wisdom. It's good godly advice, is advice about friendship. And so when we build a strong friendship with the Lord Jesus Christ, we bring ourselves to a place of wisdom. How many need more wisdom in your life? I do. All of our hands should grow up. Especially today, in the society that we lived in, we have found that some of the rules that society exists upon don't always work and sometimes fail. But bless God, as believers, we have access to greater wisdom, higher wisdom, divine wisdom. In fact, one of my favorite scriptures is James 1:5. If any man lacks what? Wisdom. Let him ask of God who gives to all men liberally and does not withhold or upbraideth not, as King James says. And one of the ways, and you know, a lot of times we think, well, God give me wisdom, you know, that's, and I'll just sit there and wait for it. But as we look at Proverbs, we see that wisdom, and one of the ways that wisdom is imparted to us from God is through developing that strong friendship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at a few verses this morning. We see that in knowing God, Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17, the Bible says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Let me tell you, one of the biggest scourges, and I've mentioned this before, that is on our society is that of loneliness. There are a lot of people who act, I'm just trying to think of a proper word, who might act in a strange way and regarding interpersonal relationships. And the reason that they do so is because they're lonely. And isn't it amazing in our society? We've got, 300 million people in the United States. But despite that, there's an epidemic of loneliness. We've all heard the expression, fair weather friends. And you might have one of the best friends that you could possibly have. But unfortunately, they're limited by their humanness. And so even though they might be there for you most of the time, they can't be there for you all the time. Circumstances might hinder them from being there for you. Or they might just be too emotionally exhausted, and so they don't have time for you. Sometimes, and this is the case, sometimes people even tire of wanting, I need a break from you. And it's not evil, it's bad, it's just a matter of humanness. We shouldn't be that way, but we're human beings. And it's tough trying to go through life alone. But we don't have to. Because if you know Jesus, Jesus is your friend. And Proverbs 17 tells us that a friend loves at all times. And a brother is born for adversity. So even though every human friend and family member may fail you and not be there with you, you will never truly be alone. And what I mean by being alone, not just knowing that, hey, there's God up there somewhere in the heavens and he's watching over me. It's God who is with me because he is being my friend. And with me in a real and tangible sense. Maybe not in a way that we experience in the five senses, but in that sixth sense or that spiritual sense that the Lord Jesus Christ gives us when we accept him as our Savior. Knowing that God is there and receiving the blessings and the benefits of being his friend, whatever we go through, whether there's people with us or not. Proverbs 18:24 tells us a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Not only is the friendship of the Lord Jesus Christ unfailing, he will always be with us. His friendship is close and intimate, more so than brotherhood. Now, some folks might say, I have friends that are closer. I'm closer to my friends than my brothers. Some of you might say that, and that might happen in your life. But let me tell you, you may be closer to that person, but I would say 99 times out of 100, your brother knows you better than your friend. Because they see more of you and have seen more of you and have seen more of your history than your friend has. And so it is with Jesus. As our friend, he knows us from literally the inside out. He knows our strengths. He knows the beauty that is in us, the good things that come out of us, love and mercy and peace and graciousness. But he also knows the ugly things as well. And he knows not only our strengths, but he also knows our weaknesses. Now, a friend, if a friend is closer than a brother, and a friend loves, is that love conditional? Or is it unconditional? Well, for some friends, it is conditional. But for the love of Christ towards us, it is unconditional. Because when Jesus Christ died on Calvary, one of the last things that he did say was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He understood that he was dying for sinners, for people who rejected him. And the Lord Jesus Christ also wants us to understand that about his closeness to us. It's just not a matter of he's close to us when we're being good and thinking good and being strong, but also when we're facing times of fear or doubt or we're struggling with sin. He's still there. And I think that's really important. It's not only important when we go through weak times, but I think it's especially important that we understand this when we go through times of temptation. Because one of the biggest struggles that people have in their walk with the Lord Jesus Christ is a struggle with sin. And when they succumb to temptation, they realize that obviously sin is something that doesn't please God. God died for sin. They allow condemnation to come in and it to frustrate their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And condemnation, I found, and perhaps you have too, doesn't always start just when we've already committed that sin. A lot of times it starts before that, when we contemplate or are tempted with sin. We know we shouldn't be thinking about these things. We know we shouldn't be thinking about saying or doing acts of unrighteousness. But because there's this consideration, guilt comes into our lives. And immediately when guilt comes up, it forms a wall between us and the Lord Jesus Christ. But God wants us to know there's a friend who's closer than a brother. And he loves us even then. Even in our ungodliness, he loves us. So we don't have to shy away from God. We can embrace the Lord Jesus Christ when going through not only times of difficulty, but times of sin as well. One of the greatest aspects of the wisdom of Christ as our friend is that he is truthful. He is truthful. How many have ever thought to themselves, don't tell me the truth, tell me what I want to hear, because I don't want to hear the truth. Regarding maybe a relationship that you're going through or a course or plan that you had in your life, you're set on this and you don't want to hear the truth. But really, if we want to be people of wisdom and live successful in life, what do we need? We need a healthy dose of the truth. And regarding wisdom, the wisdom of friendship, Proverbs puts it this way in Proverbs 27, verse 6, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. You know, it's great for people to heap on praise and accolades and tell us how good we are and tell us that things are going to work out great. But that only works so much as it is truthful and will lead us to a place of blessing. But if we're making a big mistake, one of the last things we need to hear, even though we might want to hear, is how good we're doing. If we're making a mistake regarding a career choice, a friendship, or we've seen, you know, every parent has closely scrutinized the people that their children are considering marrying and whatnot, all those types of things. We want to encourage and be a blessing. We want them to like us, but if we truly love them and if we truly care for them, we'll share with them the truth. Jesus, loving us so much, will obviously give us words of encouragement, but also give us words of truth when we need it. A good example of this was last Sunday morning as we were worshiping, and God was just moving in a special way, and at least in my heart, and ministering to my heart. But in the midst of it, the Lord convicted me of something. You know, I was just kind of caught up in the praise and the joy of the moment. But all of a sudden, something came to mind that wasn't right in my heart. And the Lord shared that with me. Now, the Lord, God didn't share that with me and it made me feel bad so that I'd have a miserable remainder of the worship service. But he shared it with me because he loved me. And he didn't want to see that attitude stain my heart or taint in any way my relationship with him. So I could bring it to the surface. I could confess it before Christ and move beyond it in Jesus' name. And so it is with Jesus. Yes, he'll give us words of blessing and encouragement because we need those at times. But he'll also give us words of correction and instruction and conviction when we need those as well, so we don't fall into the trap of sin or make a major mistake. It might not be sin, but might just be a foolish decision. Because He's our friend. He loves us and He'll minister the truth. I'm going to ask Jeremiah to come. I've got much more to say, and we'll continue this the next time we speak. But I'd like us this morning, if you would just stand with me in Jesus' precious name. To consider the importance of developing a strong friendship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the things that I'd like to close with, one thought I'd like to close with this morning, is the need for us to develop that close relationship, that close friendship. As I said before, it's not a matter of Jesus wanting to be close friends with us. He does. And everything that is necessary for us in that relationship is there just waiting for us. It's just a matter of whether or not we as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are going to develop our hearts where we can be that good friend of Jesus. Because there are basically two types of friends in the world. There are good friends and bad friends. There are friends who are truly friends who are there for you. And then there are friends who are just friends in name only. They don't return your phone calls. They ignore you when you need them. They're basically not at all a part of your life. And you know, we can be that same way with the Lord Jesus Christ. He loves us just the same. But we can be that same way, that fair weather friend. You know, I know Jesus, I love Jesus, but we're really not friends. I really don't know Jesus as I should. Whether or not that friendship develops depends on us. God has done His part and it's more than enough, but we have to respond in Jesus' name. So this morning I'd like to ask everyone, we're just going to bow our hearts and heads together, and we're just going to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to put within our hearts in a new and a fresh way a desire to be God's close friend in the name of Jesus. Father, we just love You and we thank You, Lord Jesus. As we have come together today, Lord, we've remembered Your suffering and death, and in doing so we have remembered, God, that You are our friend in the name of Jesus. You demonstrated Your friendship by giving Your life for us. God, before You were crucified, You said, "Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And You did that. But God, Your friendship did not cease when You rose from the dead, but continues to this day. God, not only did You want to be friends with Abraham and Moses and Your disciples, You want to be friends with us in the holy name of Jesus. And God, You are friends if we have accepted You as our Savior. But God, we always haven't been a faithful friend for You. And Lord, it hasn't caused You to suffer as much as it has caused us to suffer, Lord. We haven't experienced the fullness of the blessings of that friendship with You. Dear Jesus, we pray, Lord, this morning that You would just instill within us a brand new heart, a heart that not only wants, Lord, relationships with other people, with other human beings, but a heart that desires a close friendship, a familiar relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. God, change our minds and our attitudes. May we do it, number one, in response, Lord, to Your gift of love. The Bible tells us we love You because You first loved us. But also with the discerning of the importance of having You as our friend, that friend who's closer than a brother, who's unfailing, who knows us inside and out, who, Lord, give us wisdom when we need it, and who'll be truthful at all times. In Jesus' name, bless us, God, we pray.